everybody, and welcome back to the Maybaum Perspective. I'm so excited today to be joined by Maybaum Commercial Properties Managing Director, Jordan Collier.
Glad to be
Needs
here.
No introduction.
Needs no introduction. I appreciate it.
No introduction. Finally got you in the podcast studio.
Long time coming.
I know. Didn't even know where it was. Had to text me and ask where it was. So now everybody, he knows where it's at. He might be unstoppable. We'll see.
I'm going to start recording down
there. Yeah, I will make sure that your family is watching and, you know, all of your fan club, I'm sure.
It's going to be
so excited to see this. But we are excited to be back today and talking all things commercial properties. Maybaum has had a long history, obviously, with commercial properties, you know, e.g., 45 plus years ago, this was his baby, and he kicked off our entire kind of brand, right? With this division of our company. And so while a lot of people in the community may not know that, we decided today we wanted to explain and share some exciting news that is coming out of the Maybaum Commercial Properties world. So let's talk about that. We're finishing up Q3, moving into Q4, going to be kicking off 2026 soon. Talk to us about what we can expect from Maybaum Commercial as we do that.
Well, you talked about EG a lot. He started downtown.
Yep.
Southern Finance. Everyone's heard the story. It's beautiful. And we're all grateful for what he's done. When I started in 2016 with EG, he was really excited about what the next 50 years looked like.
Okay.
And so for the last almost 10 years now, we've been working on what it looks like to take Maybaum Commercial from where we are to where we're headed.
Right.
24 months from now, I think there'll be a lot of exciting changes that people love. First is brand voicing, which Megan will have to tell you. I learned what that is,
Jordan,
through this process.
Jordan is an expert now. I'm trying to get him to come to marketing.
So for those of you who are like me, brand voicing is like the difference between Coke and Diet Coke, right? It's in the Coke family, but they distinctly market to different consumers.
Okay.
So we found through the exercise with the firm that some of our, of course, we have core value overlap, but some of the value add that we provide in each of these different brands, it's not washed out, but it gets muted in the general Maybaum brand because Maybaum's got, what, 6 companies?
Yeah. We got a lot of reach.
So we really went after finding the core value of what is the service that we provide. How do we tell the story? And we went out of market to do this just because we wanted an out of market perspective on what we provide. And they did this competitor audit of Maybaum Commercial, and they came back and they're like, hey, you know, you're getting washed out, really. And so we wanted to differentiate in a way that, hey, Maybaum is not just Maybaum Residential. It's not just mortgage insurance, whatever.
Right.
But also, we don't also do commercial. Maybaum Commercial is its own thing. So the brand voicing exercise has been great. We had to do like our spirit animals and, if you were a superhero, who would you be?
I feel like that's in a whole nother podcast, right? That we like deep dive into maybe we'll
How
get
many
Brian
times
in
have you
here.
Done that,
though? I've done it a few times and I feel like I try to change my answer just to see, but for those that have not done an exercise like that, you know, these brand divisions and marketing agencies like for you to really get baseline on who you are. And a lot of times that ends up being what animal would you be or what drink would you be or whatever. But I think that's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast, but it's an interesting experience because going through that, they were able to distill what we offer. And I know that sounds really simple, but what we have found is our firm, and a lot of people don't know this, we're actually more of a regional firm. So you've got these hyper-local firms, which are of great necessity to the local economy. Then you've got these national firms like Cushman and JLL, and they have these huge master brokerage agreements with Fortune 500 companies. And then you have these kind of boutique regional firms that have niches they operate in, certain asset classes or maybe geographical areas. And we were bridging that gap between hyper-locality and national services.
Right.
So in conjunction with brand voicing, what we've done over the last 24 months that's rolling out over the next 24 months is identify like opportunities within like our tech stack. So where we can improve on what we're doing and then offer additional services. So the brand voicing is like, we're now kind of our tagline, like the driving force is we're relationship revolutionaries. Now, a marketing person came up with that, good or bad. I love it.
Yeah.
So relationship revolutionaries is the bridge between the hyper local and the national. So we're this regional reach. So we go as far west as Rio Rancho, New Mexico, as far north as Fairmont, West Virginia. Our clients are geographically spread out, but we also have people that are servicing the Augusta area.
Right.
So it was different in that we weren't focused, and we still, part of our core values is if we ever lose sight of a relationship in a transaction, we've lost our way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we focus on our moat, if you will, on our business is developing deep, I guess, consultative relationships with our clients.
Yeah.
And so then we'll go with them wherever they want to go.
Okay.
So like if you've got somebody here that, you know, bought a second home in a neighborhood, but they also own real estate in New York City.
Right.
We have the software, the staff, the ability to consult and work on that.
Yeah.
Some firms just turn it down. And then some firms are too big. So we kind of bridge that hyperlocality and the national. So the brand voicing is kind of going back to like the Ford Lincoln kind of concept, or the Coke Diet Coke concept, so that we get out there and we're able to tell the story. And it has so many pieces associated with it. The brand voice was kind of like the foundation. We were like, okay, let's get this straight. Mm-hmm. And then we can add on the verticals and the pillars. And how does that affect not only our voice, but our image? Like,
right.
What does that look like? Our tech stack, our physical office location, and really a bunch of staffing changes.
So yeah.
The brand voicing started the whole kickoff.
Right.
And now we've got five or six other big pieces that are moving at the same time.
Yeah. So I feel like that was kind of a building block. I mean, you kind of had to know who you were and realign. You know, the look and feel is going to be a little different, but the horsepower and the goals, I feel like, are going to be more in line with where the future of Maybank Commercial Properties are. What are y'all's goals? What do you offer to clients, and what changes do you see happening? Let's just say over the next decade, we'll just take it 10 years at a time, in what not only your group is offering, but what is going to be expected from the commercial real estate space.
So super high level white glove service. We call it, I don't know if I can say it's trademark, but we offer what we like to say Ritz-Carlton level service.
Okay.
If it's a $3,000 problem at a Ritz-Carlton, anybody can make the decision to fix it,
right,
to make the customer happy. So again, we've got the mode of customer service, mm-hmm, which we think really protects the business and then has a great value add. It aligns with our core values of stewardship and meekness and great attitude, all those things. But the second mode that we've been working on, and where I see things changing, is in the technological sphere, if you will, is we've had to adapt with AI. We will continue to adapt with AI. We've been building some proprietary systems with a firm to help us leverage all of these 20 years of data that we've got on file.
Right.
And then going forward, how do we use it to get our own comps? How do we get it to query, you know, leases and all those things? So what happens is, for us, it probably means less people. Not that we've got now, we don't have to continue adding more and more people. What we look at is we've got a baseline where everyone's kind of running at 100% now. And so that 100% number is going to change over time. The throughput per person will probably 10x over the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Because we'll be able to leverage, like, quickly go say, hey, tell me about this lease.
Yeah.
And they just start spitting information back to you. So I think the people that are in the business already will, if they can adapt with it, they'll be really good over the next 10 years. And also changes the landscape going forward, because our consumers are going to be more educated than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we have to stay right on the cusp of, you know, all this information wave, if you will. Interestingly, like some of our big competitors just in the last 2 or 3 years spent $2 and $3 billion mm-hmm on these models. And we obviously don't have that kind of money. So
this is not a GoFundMe podcast right now.
So as the technology has progressed, the cost, just like everything else, comes down.
Of course.
So it's accessible. And the other major benefit that we've got is we can pivot pretty quickly.
You know, right.
24 people.
A little more nimble.
Yeah, a little bit more. We're a speedboat, not a cruise ship. So we're able to stay on the bleeding edge of these technologies, roll them out and implement them. So over the next year, we're redoing our property management system. We're redoing our transaction management system, our CRM, all of it to roll up into like a interactive data model,
which would
be pretty cool. So that's kind of in-house. I can't predict macroeconomics over the next 10 years. I do think that you didn't ask, but I will say, you know, with inflation up this month, and jobs lower this month, I would be a little concerned about some stagflation.
Okay.
But I do think a rate cut will help. Probably not. You know, I think their primary issues are tracking jobs, right?
Right.
So if jobs are dwindling, if the unemployment's going up, some of it obviously is going to be AI related, but some of it's going to be economic slowdown. Interestingly, one of the things we saw, part of this tech stack thing, is obviously a new visual identity,
yep.
Which, you know, it's 100% going to pay homage to the core of Maybomb. We don't know what it's going to look like yet, but we've got,
so again, it's gonna look a little different.
It's going to look a little bit different. It's going to
look a little different.
It won't be radically different.
It's going to be some new promo, some new merch coming.
Yes.
Okay.
You can call Megan for your merch order. Actually, Matt Rogers for your merch order.
I think all of our old Maybomb commercial logo stuff is now what we call vintage.
It is vintage.
Maybe, yeah.
You can get it now.
It's a hot seller because it won't last long, people. That's right.
So, but part of like the website relaunches, we've got a pretty static page right now,
right?
And the content's great, but it's a little old. But we're rolling out new blog features. The website itself is going to be more consumer focused. So what we designed based on our competitor audits was, if I'm a client looking for something, how do I experience this website?
Right.
Instead of, we wrote and designed the existing website based on what we wanted it to look like.
Yeah, what was best for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know how to navigate it really well. But it also, if somebody is just trying to find us, our website, I think that'll change. And of course, some color changes, which I'm always excited about that.
It'll freshen it up. So again, similar services with added value, taking that kind of responsibility of building those relationships, which I think again is across the board for Maybomb. You know, we are small enough, back to kind of your nimbleness. We are small enough overall, and our market is small enough that we are able to make some of those changes. But on a national scale, you guys are able to adapt and be where you need to be by offering the technology and still offering that relationship service that you have with clients here locally. Or again, if someone's moving a business down here from California and they, you know, need the best in class, you guys are familiar enough with, you know, kind of what they would need. And I think that's the interesting thing overall about Maybomb, is that's something we've been able to do with our technology across 100%. The board, is make sure that it is consumer facing, consumer focused. And it is easy to get in that bubble of what's best for our agents and how can they navigate a website. But you're 100% right. Our clients across the board are more educated than ever. And so providing them that opportunity to really look at our portfolio in a closer way, I think, is going to be extremely important for y'all. So the look and feel is going to be a little different. Yeah. The services are going to be increased and even larger. Talk to me about the team that you've got right now. How many agents have you got? And
I should know that off the top. Well, I think it's 24 altogether.
Yeah.
Yes. So from
that focus just on commercial. And I think that's
correct.
A differentiator from a lot of us with other local brokers, which is fine, but you guys kind of have your team just honed in on commercial. They're not also selling townhomes or
neighbor's house. Well, I always tell my team, if it's a single house for sale for an owner occupant, that's not for us.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a portfolio of five or something, that's kind of the gray area, but you're never going to see a Maybomb commercial agent with a sign in Jones Creek for a house for sale.
Yeah. $450,000. Yeah.
That's maybe a
quadplex or a, you know, something larger for an investor. Okay.
So kind of two things, kind of our like prototypical, like regional client, which I'm just going to pick one, is like Hardee's. Hardee's will come to us and they'll say, hey, we're going to do five stores between Greenville, Carrollton, Georgia, and Macon. And we want help selecting all of those.
Right.
That's one thing. That's how we would function in a regional, but we don't have like the marketing budget or the horsepower to be JLL, to be spending ad dollars in Carrollton to say, hey, Hardee's, hire us for Carrollton. So the way that we, you know, procure our like B2B business is through these, you know, conferences and networking and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the one thing. The second thing is in the relationship revolutionary within that sphere, we like to say that we want to be a part of your decision-making team. We want to be so important to the decision-making process that we got to be in the room.
Right.
So we like, just like you would have a CPA or an attorney advising you on like portfolio estate planning stuff.
Right.
We're a part of that team. And so, like I said, if we ever get focused on one deal, we've lost our way, right? So we build these big, long, deep relationships. What we have found in doing this, and this is our newest service model that we've actually just rolled out September 2nd, like we're out, we're doing it, okay. is full-time asset management. And people go, what's the difference between asset management and property management?
Yeah, for those that are not familiar, break that down.
Property management is if I buy a strip mall and somebody's got to collect the rents, repair mm-hmm. the roof, all those things, get the yard cut. We have that service. Kathy Barreras runs that department for us. We're actually spending big dollars right now to streamline all of her processes okay. inside of a new property management platform. But the asset management piece, no different than a landlord that's wants to be more absentee and or has multiple properties that they don't want to be, you know, constantly calling 8 different property managers if they're a regional okay. investor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so we come in and we say, okay, we become the landlord point of contact for all or a portion of your investments. And we work with your leasing team, your construction team, and your property managers to coordinate everything. And then we report back monthly. And it's more of a portfolio strategy for us. So okay. if somebody's got 15 shopping centers or 12 storage facilities, right. we are then functioning in that, like, 1099 role of a CFO, if you would.
Gotcha. And advising them on,
advising right. them on, like, hey, we need to do this. We should sell this one. We should build one here. And it's just it's outside of the brokerage world, although brokerage is a component because you buy, sell, develop, mm-hmm. lease, whatever. And then it's outside of the property management because the property manager's focused on one property. It bridges that gap between property management and brokerage.
Right.
And what we found is, our property management team was doing a little bit and our brokers were doing a little bit. And we were like, wait a second, this is insane. This is not within their scope of work.
Right.
And the more that we've talked to our repeat of clients about this, they're like, oh man, we need this. Or, and in fact, like people were looking to hire on staff asset managers for their portfolios. And then we came to them and we're like, hey, give us a shot.
Yeah. What
and
if we could do this for you?
It's been great. Of course we're officially open only the last couple of weeks, but we've been doing it for years. Anyway.
Right. Right.
So we got all the software and systems to do it. So that's a big change for us going forward. Those are going to be for bigger, like regional investors.
Right. Right. Which is so great because again, less people in the mix sometimes is so much easier for the client.
They
are dealing with enough every day, just like all of us are. To have one kind of point person that can check a bunch of those boxes off is just such a great service that I don't think, you know, again, 10 years ago, maybe was something anybody was really focusing on, but that is the future. Everyone is moving so quickly. That's right.
High service. We care about our relationship.
A lifetime of relationships and a lifetime of work together. Even if they don't add to their portfolio, maintaining what they've got. And then if they were ready to grow what they've got.
We always say we plan for the end in mind. You want to plan for what you don't want to happen.
Right.
And so we're talking about how are we going to transfer this ownership and wealth to the next generation? Yep. How are we planning for taxes? We want to be in those conversations with everybody else. And so we provide valuations, we provide projections and it's a whole nother world, but that's, if you come to the third floor at Wheeler Road right now.
Yeah.
Talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
If you come to the third floor in Wheeler Road right now, you're like, who are all these people? That's right. What they're all doing.
Yeah.
They're just like running numbers right. all day long.
Right? Bunch of numbers people.
Yeah.
Don't understand what they're doing, but they're all just tap, 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 tap on those computers and it makes them look really busy. Now they could be doing their fantasy football drafts. I have no idea.
Fantasy football, putting green, cornhole.
They look very busy. And that's honestly all that really matters at the end of the day. No. So you've got this great group of 20-ish people. You've got some staff mixed in there. I know there will mm-hmm. be some staff changes that we'll be announcing in the coming months, but talk to us a little bit, your segue there on where you guys are going. You're going to leave the third floor. You've kind of outgrown the space that you redid it and it fit so well in the beginning. And now you've attracted.
We're going to miss the blue jean wallpaper.
Going to miss. Okay. That is a very nice navy grass cloth for everyone that is not familiar.
I'm pretty sure Megan picked it out.
I certainly did. And Caitlin Fouché hopefully is not listening to that and taking offense because she is amazing. Harder floors and more. Thank you. He doesn't mean that. No, you can wallpaper
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's certainly bittersweet for us, but sure. We've hit the point where we can't add anybody.
Yeah.
And especially with the addition of this asset management division, we know that's going to grow pretty quick.
Right.
So, we don't have time to tell the whole story, but the short version of a long story is we've tried every which way to kind of end up in the, what we call Cheddar Town over there by Cheddar's, where all the other financial district is.
Yeah.
But I'll give a short segue on why we're ending up where we're ending up is we're moving to 953 Jones Street.
Okay.
Which is in downtown.
Right downtown.
It's a big change. It's going to add at least like 8 minutes to my commute every day.
Oh boy.
But if you think about our Columbia County office where we're sitting,
right.
You think about our Aiken office, Wheeler Road, you know, certainly favors the Columbia County office.
Right.
And so getting everybody together for a sales meeting, you know, it's not like a huge hassle, but I do feel like being downtown would be more equidistant from Columbia County and from Aiken, North Augusta. So we love that component of it. Probably the most exciting component. Well, let me save that one. I would say also, like when we say in these regional discussions about other firms, to say we're from Augusta and then somebody come to a Columbia County address, it's not a big deal. But like when we bring clients in town, where do we put them?
Yeah.
Partridge Inn.
Right.
Where do we go to dinner? Frog Hollow.
Right.
So why aren't we there? I don't know. Well, I think there's a lot of things happening downtown right now that make us really excited. Of course, the Miller reno was a big one. The Bell renovation, another huge one. And then, of course, JBA, which if you've seen is now vertical.
Yeah.
The old one's gone. JBA's going up. You know, you'll have ice hockey and all the other things going on down there. But then kind of excited to see what happens where Rise Augusta and the Boys and Girls Club are and the UCD Foundation stuff over there. And then the Broad Street, streetscape improvements, parking improvements. I know everybody's kind of, that's a touchy subject because it's going to take another 3 years. But we see all of that as kind of aligning for downtown to say, okay, there's significant, you know, over $1 billion in infrastructure and improvements happening down there. What does that look like for the next 5 years? We think that we're going to see more of a revitalization downtown.
Right.
And I love the idea of being in the CBD. And then on top of that, EG started there at Southern Finance.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, we did 50 years here.
Right.
I would hope we do the next 50 years downtown. Yeah. It's kind of paying homage to it. And the nice thing about our building is it has a parking lot. So we don't have to really worry about all the streetscape improvements right now. But it's going to be pretty exciting. We had five buildings there and we've got a good group of people moving in.
Okay.
And it's going to create some energy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our building, we're doing a historic renovation on it, and we're going to do, like, super high-techy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really excited about it. I think aligning the website and the technology, the brand voicing, the location, the staffing changes, that's five major projects happening at once. I haven't had really a time to be a broker for a while.
Right.
Juggling all this. But the next 24 months, like from today, if we have this conversation in 2027, I think it's going to be
totally different.
It'll be totally different in a good way.
Yeah.
It's going to set us up for the next 50 years. You know, the tagline that we're rolling out, which would be the first public announcement, is smart moves and strong futures.
Okay.
So smart in that, you know, of course, heavy data analysis, lots of experience drawing on, but the idea would be that we're here to serve these people to create strong futures, right? And, you know, we do that through relationships.
Yeah.
And this is the way it goes. And all of this other stuff is just peripheral to our core purpose is to serve people. We just happen to do it through commercial real estate.
Yeah.
That's why, like, small side note, like when I get people that call me, they're like, hey, I just like a residential, want to do this. Can you help me just do this?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, again, if we lose sight of the relationship or serving, which is what I'm here to do.
Right.
What God put me on the earth was to serve. And most of the time I don't feel like it's going to serve the client best.
Right.
If somebody who hasn't done this before is like,
if an expert is not handling it.
Yeah. So like and if somebody's super passionate about it and I'm like, hey, you want to learn? Let's do it together. But I need to make sure that the client's getting the best advice. And sometimes that means it's not us. Like if I've looked at something and I'm like, hey, I know somebody that can handle
this.
You
won't touch it if it's not, if it's not in your wheelhouse.
I mean, like it's just, it's,
and I think that's good. I mean, it's important.
It sounds self-serving, but if you look at it, and it's maybe kind of cliche, but if we are focused on serving first and we get everything else out of the way and our mindset is with the end in mind, so we're thinking about how can this end best for them?
Right.
Then making the decision today is a lot easier because we go, hey, we need to put you here, or you need to work with this person,
right?
Or hey, we've got a great referral relationship with a group in Memphis that's handling this type of asset or whatever. So it's a very exciting time for us. We're taking what EG built, which I think is just phenomenal,
right?
And we're saying, all right, there's a bunch of like new people, new blood. We've got this like amazing legacy group of people that have done awesome work over the last 50 years in Augusta. Some of them still working for the firm that have great reputations.
Right.
How do we leverage that and say, we're not abandoning where we came from. We're saying because of where we were, I actually feel very grateful. It's like, we're standing on like super cliche. We're standing on the shoulders of giants here. We couldn't be where we were if that hadn't already been done. The foundational work has been laid. And so now we're just saying, okay, how do we go from here and take it to the next level? So the next 24 months is going to be wild.
Well, and I think that's the great thing. And what I love so much about y'all's passion as a whole group, and especially coming through in your leadership for this division and this group specifically, is, you know, you could have stayed and you could have made it work and the building, you know, the physical space, right? But you see such an opportunity for your group culturally to grow, to maybe attract a few more like-minded people, but to also maintain the ability to create and forge your own path, because what you guys are doing is very different than the residential agents that are listening. And I think you're right. I think, you know, part of kind of my wrap up here, which you segued again for me, was, you know, if I'm a residential agent listening, you know, where are you guys? You've already given us the address. What's the best way to get in touch with you guys? Still the same way, same phone number?
Yeah, 100%. Same phone number, same. I will say the email may change, but I think everybody knows we're going to this cloud-based email.
Sure.
Everybody is, but in an effort to like split the domain into pieces, and now I'm talking about things that I don't understand. It's all voodoo, but we may have, you know, two inboxes with two tags.
Yeah.
We may be Maybomb CRE at Maybomb CRE or something, but at Maybomb's still going to go there.
Yeah.
Our directories will still be accessible to everyone in the Maybomb directory.
Right.
Our phone number's not going to change. Our physical office locations change, but none of y'all ever come visit us anyway. So for Megan, she's right down the road or right down the hall.
I'm gonna come to the new office. I hear there's gonna be some snacks.
Snacks.
I mean, I'm always
down for
some snacks.
We are gonna provide Diet Coke fountain
and Diet Cokes. I'm really just trying to figure out how
espresso machine.
Yeah, that doesn't impress me at all, but the Diet Coke does. So I'm gonna figure out a way to get down there.
Bacon.
There you go. I'm gonna find a way to get down there. You're speaking my love language. So okay, to just kind of in summary though, for residential agents again, if they're listening, which I hope they are, they've had a client. This is just a good, you know, kind of example. They've had a client that they've done lots of deals with, and they've been in real estate for a lot of years, and that client wants them to do a commercial deal. You know, they own a business, they're in wealth management, let's just say, and they want to open up a new office. It's not that big. It's not going to take that much time. The client's begging, you know, the residential agent to work with them. This happens all the time. And they've built that relationship, and the client deserves to be able to ask this real estate agent, because they're a real estate agent,
100%.
You know, help me with this office. I only need 2,500 square feet. It's not that big a deal. You can do it. I trust you. I don't trust anybody else. What are some like good talking points and tips for them to transition that to a commercial advisor and a commercial specific real estate agent? And why is that in the best interest for that client?
Well, I think the talk track starts with, you know, I'm here to help. I'm glad to help is normally how I respond, which I am glad to help, and they should be too. But, and they're honored that, you know, you would call me first.
Right.
That's some work that you've done on your end to get
the call.
That's right. Assuming the relationship is built on trust, the way I would do it personally is, hey, yes, we're going to help you. And just say, oh, great, let's do that. And I'm going to say, but there's one thing I want to tell you is I care enough about you to make sure that you're taken care of properly. I'm going to bring in somebody to do this with us. And the way people always want to know, like, how is the sausage made?
Sure.
Typically, the best thing to do, if you've already got a working relationship with one of the agents, please, by all means, go through one of them. If you're unsure, or if you're new, or whatever that looks like, for any reason, I would email me or text or call me, preferably text or email. But and what I like to do is to get an understanding of the situation.
Sure.
What, again, starting with the end in mind, what they're trying to accomplish, what they want to do. We look at contracts all the time where it's like, I could tell you 100 that you wouldn't believe where they got to. And then we get involved, and trying to undo sometimes is impossible. Sometimes it's already signed and you're like,
yeah,
but we want to avoid those situations. And really my role as the broker is to say, okay, we've got several different specialists in different asset classes. You got industrial, retail, site selection, you name it. We've got it all, medical. And we've also got generalists too, which all of which function within their niche. And you know, if it's a timber tract, we've got timber consulting, if it's whatever. But in this specific case, if it's medical or retail or office or whatever, really what I would want to do is have a discussion with the client or the broker and understand like what they're trying to do. And then I would pair them with who I think is best.
The matchmaker. Yes, for sure.
And just say, hey, I think so-and-so is well-suited to work with you.
Right.
And I think that this asset class, they knock it out of the water and they're going to take care of you. Include me if you want to, like from a communication standpoint, but normally it's just a handoff to the right person.
Right.
And the idea would be that they follow through. Now we're all, you know, we're all sinners. We all mess
up.
So I would just encourage anybody, if there is a level of frustration that comes through it, and a lot of times it's mutual mystification where you don't really know what's going on. And maybe there's some side conversations between the commercial agent and the client, or maybe the commercial agent. Sometimes that mutual mystification causes angst or frustration. Certainly, by all means, reach back out to me because I'm meeting with these folks on a regular cadence, and I can get involved. But the best thing, you know, and that looks like a referral, sometimes a co-list. I mean, the co-list is fine. The problem with that is 90% of our deals have a co-op.
Right.
So when you start talking about a co-list and a co-op, you know, it's like financially infeasible for them
slicing
to like,
and dicing. Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, and let's get down to bare bones. 2,500 square feet lease, you're going to make like $6,000 or something.
Yeah.
And it's good money. I'm not belittling that. But when you split that half company dollar, and then you're talking about splitting the rest,
right,
you're like, I just spent 40 hours for this.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you go, okay, but is it in the best interest of the client? Yes. And so that's why we do it. Right. So, from an agent perspective, working on your talk track about, I'm glad to help.
Right.
The best way for me to help you is get somebody else involved.
Yeah.
And I'm typically the point of contact for that.
Yeah. So, okay. So they can still reach out to you.
100%. They should. I mean, we've seen too many times. I literally looked at one yesterday where this guy did a coffee shop and he spent $500,000 building out the coffee shop, and he should have bought the building.
Yeah.
And now they're not talking about renewing.
Oh,
now
boy.
He's got a loan on the improvements.
Oh boy.
And you're just like, how did we get in this situation?
Yeah.
Like, and I know these people. I'm like, I would have done it for free. Just
well,
for
that's the hardest thing. And again, client focus, relationship based, you know, that's the MO across the board, you know, doing what's right. And I think at the end of the day, making sure you're making those decisions, money off the table, making the decision that's best for that client, not just for today and to the closing table, but for beyond. Because like you said, I mean, there's a lot of repercussions if you're not protected in your contract or your lease.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it happens if you're not necessarily the expert in that field. So certainly mistakes might happen, but having that advisement from a division right here in house is so important. So In summary, maybe
on
commercial properties is going to look a little different.
We're the best. What's the conclusion?
We're still the best. Okay. Yeah. That could be
smart
the best.
Strong future.
There you go. We're going to be in a different location. Going to look a little different. Going to offer even more.
Like March or April of 26.
Okay.
I was hoping we didn't have to like permit the work, but I think we're going to have to do it.
Okay.
We are disturbing certain percentage of the building. And so we're going to have to get.
Okay. That's okay. So okay. maybe we'll have you guys back on closer to the time and talk about what that looks like and new things that are coming. And we're excited for Mabon Commercial Properties and excited for your whole team. And just look forward to what not only the next 24 months, but like you said, the next 50 years. So
it's gonna be awesome.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, and we'll see you guys next time on the Made Well Perspective.